One more song for this morning. One that I wanted to start this series with, one that I'm reasonably confident probably just about everyone in the building will have heard at some time or another. Here it is. The old crooner, Frank Sinatra, with what became his signature tune, really, I Did It My Way. And a survey of funeral music last year found that even though that song is now almost 50 years old, it was again the top choice for funeral music in 2016. Not actually in Christchurch, because it's one of the very few songs that I won't let people have. But around the country, that's the song that people want. And I guess that for a lot of people, that is the kind of epitaph they would like for themselves. As a sort of famous last words, it kind of works. It works better than, say, Oscar Wilde's last words. Either those curtains go, or I do. Or one of my favourites, Lord Palmerston's last words, die, my dear doctor, that's the last thing I shall do. Probably more popular than some words on a monument in Scotland. Erected to the memory of J. Macfarlane. Drowned in the waters of Leith by a few affectionate friends. I'm sure there should be a full stop somewhere in there. But what would you want your last words to be? Looking back, what would you want to say of yourself? My Way wasn't exactly Frank Sinatra's last song, but it was written for him as a statement of his life up to that time. And in fact, when he did die several years ago, it was the song that was played ad nauseam. Frank Sinatra was the man who proudly always did things his way. But I don't think it just became a huge success just because of Frank Sinatra or something like that. But because it really tapped into what late 20th century, early 21st century men and women want to think about ourselves. We live so much in the age of the individual. It all began about 200 years ago with what's called the Age of Enlightenment. And one of the key things that thinkers began to say was that people should take responsibility for their own actions. There may be a God, but we shouldn't live as if we're dependent on him. We must make our own way. And there's a kind of straight line from that to where we are today and to my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. But the question I want to ask is my way really the best way? Sinatra's life is proof that if I live my way, doing what I want, going big on self-fulfillment, then a lot of other people are going to get hurt. Because I'm not just an individual. I live in relationship with many others, and my actions affect other people. But aside from that, is my way really the best way? When I get to the end of my life, is that really what I need to be able to say? That psalm which we heard earlier, which was again a great song from the past, just looked at it from such a different angle. Because first of all, it reminds us that life will end. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. Because it's been called the ultimate statistic. One out of every one die. And that isn't trying to be morbid. It's just being realistic. But if we want to think about the way we view life, or the way popular culture around us views it, this is actually a pretty important thing. However we live this life, however wealthy we might be, however clever, however popular, this life will end. So what difference does that make to how we live? Well, at first sight, Psalm 49 might almost seem to agree with Frank Sinatra. For I can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they've had named lands after themselves. It's almost as though the psalmist is saying, everyone's going to die, so let's just make the most of it. Travel, live a life that's full. Travel each and every highway. The problem is that sees life as purely existing here and now. But actually, I think it's quite hard to imagine that this life is all that there is, that there's no heaven. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, God has set eternity in the human heart. So where does living my way connect with eternity? Or putting it another way, can living your way actually get you to heaven? Certainly many people think that it can. I've seen several surveys in the last few years showing that despite constantly dropping figures for church attendance, the percentage of people who believe in an afterlife has stayed pretty much the same. It's pretty high. The vast majority of the population still believe in heaven. And of course, that vast majority of the population all believe that they'll go there. And my experience is that most people who believe that they're going to heaven believe that they will get there on the basis of my way. Not necessarily through living a thoroughly hedonistic life, but by living this life well enough to deserve heaven. You know, you will have heard that, I'm sure, I always do my best to be good to others. I always help those in need. I go along to church and join in with things. I've really never done anything wrong. And of course, what's really noticeable about all of those is the first word in each case. They are all rooted in I. What I've done or not done. These are my way statements. And of course, that's what you'd expect people to believe. It's the idea which dominates our society. That is individualism. Not in the sense of selfish sense, but in that sense of personal responsibility. I'll get to heaven, and I'll get there my way. Because how could there be any other way of doing it? But there's a problem with that. If the song My Way sums up how so many people view life today, Psalm 49 brings us up with a nasty jolt. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They're like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. So you see, we live in a society which encourages us to trust ourselves, but the Bible responds that those who trust themselves will perish. And of course, it's not just this psalm that says it. It's the consistent message of the whole Bible. I think if you wanted to sum up Psalm 49 in one verse, it would actually be Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. All this self-belief, this assumption that if I'm going to get to heaven, it will be through something I do, this emphasis on being good enough, on blazing my own trail for God to God, it may sound great, it is the way our society thinks, but a belief system based on that can only lead to one destination. And that destination is eternal death. So what hope is there? But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. How could he be sure of that? On what basis did the psalm writer expect God to redeem him? The psalm doesn't make it clear. That's not what the psalm's about so much. The psalm is talking about this futility of self-dependence and pride. It takes other passages to explain that it's only through faith in Jesus that it becomes possible. But there's a hint here. This chap knew that if he was to have eternal life, it would depend not on himself, but on God. And of course, Jesus had some powerful words to say about that. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The broad way is the way taken by those who are depending on themselves. It's the path that so many people who live around us are traveling on. It's the my way path. And it's something that doesn't just affect kind of people way out there. In another of Jesus' parables, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee who figured he would be accepted by God because he was good enough. He was the my way man. The other was a tax collector who knew that his way couldn't be enough and who simply asked God for mercy. And it was him who was accepted by God. It's a well-known parable. What's interesting is that Luke says Jesus told the parable to some who were confident of their own righteousness. Jesus was talking to my way people and telling them that the road they were on would never lead them where they wanted to go. And what's significant there is that the my way person there was actually a thoroughly religious chap, a Pharisee. You see, I guess that for most people here in church this morning, so much of what I've said will be nothing new. Of course I can't depend on myself to get to heaven. But even then, our problem is that the world around us conditions us to have a my way mentality, even when we've put our trust in the Lord Jesus. It's one of the things that I've noticed at school. So often at school, we talk about being, you know, the children being can-do people. And in terms of sort of self-esteem, that's good. But it's only a very short step from being a can-do person to being a my-way person. And that's not so good. You see, I think it's all too easy to give your life to Jesus. But then still, without thinking, still have a kind of my-way mentality. For example, there is so much confusion in the church at the moment about sexuality and relationships, despite the Bible being pretty clear on these things. Why is it? It's because there are a load of people who are in effect saying, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live that out my way. I've come across Christians who see being part of the church as something they don't need to do, despite the Bible being transparently clear about that. Why? Because they're saying, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live that out my way. I've met Christians who are refusing to forgive a hurt that's been done to them, despite the Bible being blatantly clear about that. Why? Because in effect, they are saying, I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to live that out my way. You see, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that your old way of life just shrivels up and dies. I just think being a disciple of Jesus is a constant battle to root out the ways in which we still live a my way life. And it matters. It matters because there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. And you see, friends, living my way can keep you from ever becoming a Christian, but it can also diminish your life as a Christian. Every time you give in to my way, your relationship with God is damaged. No wonder there are so many discouraged and dissatisfied Christians around, because so easily we're pulled into that my way mentality. You see, at the end of the day, there are just two ways to live. My way says, for what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has naught. There's another way that says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And you see, if today, or if at the end of your life, all you can say is, I did it my way, I'm afraid it's not enough. Now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this. I did it my way. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.